Good morning, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Tuesday, June 2nd. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed a new order that will allow more businesses to reopen and allow some large outdoor gatherings as long as people respect rules to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Rick Pluta reports.
Bars and restaurants in Michigan will be allowed to reopen next week, but with new restrictions. Customers will be allowed to visit car dealerships and other retailers without an appointment starting Thursday. Whitmer says it may take 2 or 3 weeks to take the next steps after that, and that will depend on how this stage of re-engagement works.
No one wants to move backwards, but if we see a spike coming, we may have to. So please keep doing your part.
The governor said she is concerned by behavior she's seen by many protesters who filled the streets without wearing masks and standing too close to each other. I'm Rick Pluta.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer is scheduled to testify about Michigan's response to the COVID-19 crisis before a congressional committee today. Steve Carmody reports.
A subcommittee of the U.S. House Committee on Energy and Commerce is scheduled to hear from Whitmer and the governors of Colorado and Arkansas. The committee is interested in hearing how governors are battling the COVID-19 pandemic. The governor is expected to testify that Michigan needs help from the federal government to address the budget hole created by the pandemic. Whitmer's handling of the pandemic has drawn praise and criticism. Last week, the U.S. Justice Department even signaled support for a lawsuit brought by Michigan business owners suing in federal court over the legality of the governor's executive orders. I'm Steve Carmody.
Central Michigan University announced yesterday that it will start and end its fall semester early in order to reduce the spread of COVID-19. WCMU's Ben Thorpe explains.
CMU President Bob Davies announced classes will begin on August 17th and end on November 25th to reduce the number of students traveling home and then returning after the Thanksgiving holiday. The approach has already been adopted at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie. Students will also have the opportunity to attend classes either online or in person to reduce in-person class sizes. In a written statement, President Davies said the move reduces the likelihood of infection on our campus and in our community. I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
After the collapse of the Edenville Dam caused widespread flooding across mid-Michigan, some experts are hoping more attention will be paid to other dams around the state. Officials say there are as many as 2,500 dams across Michigan. The state oversees more than 1,000 of those structures, but only 3 state regulators are assigned to oversee them. Laura Rubin is the director of the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. She says she believes there needs to be aggressive efforts to remove the dams, many of them that are in failing conditions around the state.
The average age of the dams in Michigan, I think, is 74 years old. And that's, you know, an average life of a dam is probably 30 to 50 years. You know, concrete just starts to wear down, things like that. So most of these dams are at retirement age.
Rubin says maintenance costs are upwards of $500,000 every decade. And whether privately or publicly owned, much of that upkeep is simply not being done. Following several days of peaceful protests against police brutality and nights of clashes with police officers, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist is urging demonstrators to remain calm. Speaking at a news conference yesterday, Gilchrist says the past few days have been difficult for African Americans. He says the final words of George Floyd, the black man killed in police custody, have become a rallying cry.
We can't breathe when the knee of injustice is pressed against our necks. We can't breathe when a virus that is disproportionately killing our brothers and sisters. That is why it is more important than ever that we dedicate each breath to peaceful action.
Gilchrist says there must be reforms to end police brutality and the systemic injustice that people of color face on a daily basis. Protesters gathered in Mount Pleasant yesterday for the second time in 2 days. Hundreds gathered in front of CMU's University Center to protest the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police. Michael Livingston reports.
The news of a second protest got passed along through a Facebook page called Protest for Justice, March for Peace. Steve Green is the page administrator and lead organizer for the march. He says it's especially important that civil rights protests happen at CMU.
I was on a conference call this morning with the heads of many departments in the area, basically letting them know why we're here, what we're talking about, and letting them know that we are a peaceful protest, and they let me know that they do agree that there's injustices happening in this country. And
like Sunday, yesterday's protest went over without violence or vandalism and with escorts from the Mount Pleasant and CMU police departments. The demonstration concluded with the crowds gathering in front of the Isabella County Sheriff's Office. Protesters laid face first on the street, chanting, "I can't breathe," for 9 minutes to represent George Floyd's death. Participants took turns sharing words and stories about systematic racism appearing in their own lives. Michael Livingston, WCMU News.
Like many cities in America, Detroit is reacting to the death of George Floyd with protests. Demonstrations have gone on for 4 days straight, and the city is under an 8 p.m. curfew to keep the peace. Eli Newman has this story from the front lines of the Detroit protests.
Deal with us! Deal with us! Deal with us!
It's 10 minutes past curfew on Sunday. Hundreds of protesters on the lawn of Detroit Police Headquarters chant for an act of solidarity with the officers. The police form a line, prepping their gas masks and zip-tie handcuffs. Eventually, Deputy Chief Todd Bettison takes a knee, pleading with the group to leave.
We love you, man. We got you. Thank you. This is the Detroit Police Department. We are you. Look at our faces.
Say it, bro. We are you.
We do not want to engage.
But among the throngs of people, the act was largely unseen. Some protesters never planned to leave anyway. Roy Allen Jr. is among them.
Man, we tired. We tired. Look, man, I got scars.
The 33-year-old points to his right eye, where he has a 2-inch scar on his brow.
This from high school. Getting my head busted wide up. I'm walking with some shoes home from Denby High School. Way back then, it started back then. 15, beat my ass and shit.
Allen lives near Van Dyke and 6 Mile in Detroit. It's not far from where Damon Grimes was killed in 2017. The 15-year-old boy was riding an ATV when he was tasered by a Michigan State Police trooper. Grimes then crashed into a flatbed truck and died. The trooper involved was sentenced to 5 to 15 years in prison. Allen says that death was personal.
This is my hood. I'm from the east side. I knew his brother. And I went through hell with the police, bro. All my life. All my life.
I'm getting on goggles.
40 minutes into curfew, when Detroit police fired tear gas into the crowd, Allen was still on the scene. He made it into his car before police officers in riot gear could detain him. Detroit police have arrested hundreds of protesters in recent days. Mayor Mike Duggan says most involve people who live outside of the city.
Lots of things on internet. I live in Wyandotte. I'll pay $10 if you'll pick me up for gas money. I'm up in Sterling Heights. Anybody going down to Detroit? We know what was going on there.
Police Chief James Craig says using tear gas and performing arrests is necessary to keep order in the city at night.
Every day, the protests did turn violent. And I'm not talking about the majority of the protesters who were peaceful.
Craig says a few officers have been injured, and at least one was assaulted while patrolling.
That criminal decided to do one thing, lit a firework and toss it at the car.
While Craig and Duggan have blamed outside agitators for the aggression, many protesters disagree. Suwatu Salama Ra is a Detroit organizer who participated in the demonstrations.
This is an uprising. America doesn't care if it's peaceful or not. We get treated the same way, even if it's peaceful or it's violent.
Ra says violence is perpetuated by the government and the police.
The cannons that they have, the tanks that they have, is all militarized, right? And so that takes a lot of money. But that same kind of money and that same type of funding need to be incorporated into community-led solutions and collective care that we all know want to implement ourselves.
As for the number of people living outside of Detroit who have been arrested, Ross says it's important to have multiracial solidarity in the movement against police brutality and for criminal justice reform. What that movement looks like in the days and weeks ahead in Detroit and around the country remains to be seen. In Detroit, I'm Eli Newman.
Things were calmer last night in Detroit. The protests ended yesterday largely without incident shortly after the curfew began. And that is your morning news roundup for this Tuesday, the second day of June 2020. I'm Mike Horace. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.